I'm going to ask you to stand again this morning, if you can stand and take your Bibles, or it's also in your bulletin, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Good to see all of you all here. Good to see our visitors here this morning. We'll acknowledge you again a little later on, and good to see some of our college students here home for the break, I guess. And good to see Alvin in, and their two little ones here, and her granddad back there as well. Good to see all of y'all here. Kelsey, good to see Kelsey here. Good to see all of you all here this morning. What a wonderful day, which is any day, any Sunday or any other day. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. I am like the psalmist. We said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house. I would be here this morning. Even if I didn't have to preach, I'd still be here this morning. I'd be in the house of the Lord somewhere. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Matthew chapter 28. In each gospel, it gives us the account of Christ's life, of course, his crucifixion and his resurrection. So today we're going to mainly look at Matthew's account, but we will look a little bit at Mark and Luke as well. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10 says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is not here. But he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee, that you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So the women went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice, rejoice. So they came and held Jesus by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. There they will see me, Jesus said. Simple thought this morning, but a profound thought. Jesus is risen. His tomb is still empty. Jesus is risen. His tomb is still empty. You may be seated. Jesus is risen. His tomb is still empty. Some 2,000 years ago, there were two events that occurred, something that happened that sent shockwaves throughout human history. Something happened that had a ripple effect all the way down to now. And a ripple effect not just in the world, but throughout the entire universe. And not just throughout the entire universe, but throughout the spiritual realm. It had a profound effect upon the angelic and demonic realm. It changed the way that mankind could approach a holy God. Of course, these monumental events are like bookends, if you will. One is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the other is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been said that the resurrection is the amen to the crucifixion. Without the cross, you would have no crown. Christ indeed died. He died. Don't believe all those foolish, crazy, idiotic, different types of ways they try to excuse the way that Christ died. Christ died. He died. They buried him, but he rose again. But he rose again. And so he rose again. So we can rejoice this morning because he rose again. It's like the hymn writer said, up from the grave, he arose. He arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, he arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. See, if he only just died, we would still be in our sins. If he only died, as Paul said, people would really should feel sorry for us, should pity us because we worship somebody who's still dead. If he still died, we would have a hopeless situation this morning. But he did die and he rose again. He didn't just die. He didn't just die. He rose again. So we celebrate this morning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that he died, but he rose again. So let's peep in this first resurrection Sunday, this first Sunday morning when Christ has arisen from the grave. Let us look at Matthew 28 verses 1 through 4. Matter of fact, verse 2 of Matthew 28 said that these women, they came and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. And the angel sat on it. Let me make this very clear this morning. You might want to jot this down. The stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus get out, but so that we could get in. The stone was rolled away, not for Jesus to get out, but for you and I to get in. I mean, if death couldn't hold him, if the grave couldn't hold him, some stone, even though the big stone, some stone sure enough couldn't hold him. Also, in Christ's resurrected bodies, if you read through the gospel accounts, he could just walk through. He could walk through walls. He could walk through doors. So Christ could have just walked on through the rock. The rock didn't have to be removed to let Christ out. It was removed to let the ladies in. It was removed to let Peter and John in. It was removed so that you and I could peep in this morning and see that indeed the tomb is empty. It was removed for us, not for Christ. Isn't that just like our God, though? He opens the door that we might get to Jesus. He opens up doors that we might draw nearer and nearer to him. We might be closer and closer to him. He opens up blind eyes that we might can see the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So it's no wonder that he had the angel to remove the stone so that you and I could get in this morning. In Mark 16 and 3, Mark 16 and 3, might want to write that down and read it later. It's good when you're reading through the Gospels, reading about particular events about Christ. It's good to read other accounts, like we in Matthew, but it's good to maybe see what Mark said about it, what Luke said about it. It gives us more detail, gives us more insight. And so Mark 16:3 said this. Brother Mark tells us that these ladies were wondering, how can we get into the tomb? They knew how people were buried back in those days. They knew a big stone over the grave. How can we get in? These ladies were saying, how can we get in? How can we get to his body? But as they went, God had already dispatched an angel to roll away the stone. There's a message in there somewhere that if the Lord is directing you to do something, if he's directing you to do something, you might not know how you're going to do it. You might not know how you're going to pull it off. You might not say, I don't have enough ability. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. But if God is directing you to do something, just go ahead and do it. Start trying to do it. And he has a way of helping you and I to do it. As long as he says do it, you need to do it. Wherever he gives vision, he also gives provision. Let me say that again. Wherever he gives vision, he also gives provision. Wherever he guides, he also provides. He's not going to ever call you or me to do something that with his help, that we can't pull it off. Matter of fact, we have to realize we're too weak. We don't know enough. We don't have enough to do this. So when it is accomplished, we can say all the glory goes to God. All the glory goes to Jesus. It wasn't because I was so intelligent. It wasn't because I had so much money or so much help. It was because of God himself who helped me to do that thing. God has a way of taking people like you and me, just the weak people, the people who don't have it all together, and use us to do awesome and mighty things. Matter of fact, on Wednesday night, the brother that preached over at Resurrected, the 1 Corinthians 1, details that, Sister Gunn, details how he takes the minimal things and does it in such a way that when it's done, he gets all the glory. Am I right about it? But when God directs you to do something, just start doing it. Noah, he started building a boat, and it hadn't even rained yet. This brother just started building a boat because God said, build a boat. Abraham, God told Abram to just leave where you are and didn't even tell him where he was going. And Abram didn't even have a GPS or nothing. He just started going. God told Abraham, who had the son of the promised son, Isaac, God said, go sacrifice him. And Abraham went to sacrifice him. But of course, God provided a ram, Brother Greg, a ram in the bush. If God called you to do something, just go on and do it. And if he tells you don't do it or be still, just be still. But whatever he tells you to do, just do it. God sent Elijah down to the widow's house, and guess what? God fed him day after day after day. Whatever God tells you or I to do, sometimes it will not make sense to our human minds, but if God said to do it, guess what? You need to do it. So if God said to do it, you need to do it. So God has a way of taking those things that we think are impossible, and he makes it possible. This was a God-sized task to go to the tomb where Jesus' dead body laid or was laying. This was a God-sized task. So how are we going to move this big stone? This was a God-sized task to be afraid, really, of the Roman soldiers saying maybe the same thing might happen to me. But these ladies went. What God-sized task are you currently embarking upon? God has major things for you and me and even for this church to do. God-sized task that only we can do. Only we can do it as long as he empowers us to do it. So verse 3 and 4, we see that when the angel came, soldiers, when they saw the angel, the Bible said, check it out. He his countenance was like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow. I don't know about you, but I hadn't seen anybody like that before. Where his countenance is like lightning, and he appears as white as snow. And so verse 4 said these soldiers became like dead men. I would assume so. If you saw that, or if I saw that, we'd be like dead men too. A little asterisk and a side note. You know, Jesus had been talking about he's going to be resurrected. So when he finally was resurrected, the Jewish leader, if you read a little further in Matthew, the Jewish leaders went and told the soldiers, they bribed him and said, hey, tell them that his disciples came and stole them while y'all slept. Y'all catch that in just a minute. Tell them that they came and stole them while y'all were asleep. Man, if they were really asleep, which they were, they wouldn't know who stole them. They wouldn't know what would have happened with the body. So that's a faulty excuse right there. Some people even to today still believe that somebody came and stole the body. No, he is risen. It takes more faith to believe all this other foolish stuff than just to believe the truth. He is risen. He conquered death, Brother Michael. He is not in the tomb. He is not him here. The tomb is empty. So verse 5, as I hasten on. When the women showed up, the angel was there. Once again, the soldiers had passed out. So the angel told the women, verse 5, he answered and said to the women, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus. You seek Jesus. We'll come back to that in a minute. You seek Jesus who was crucified. First, let me just say a brief word about crucifixion. In the past, I've preached a whole sermon on crucifixion. If the Lord wills, maybe I'll do that next year. But let me just give you a couple sentences about the crucifixion. It was this awful, of course, betrayal of Jesus by Judas. And then he went to unjust trials, and throughout that way, he had trumped up charges on him, false witnesses and false testimonies against our Lord and Savior, who is perfect. Then the cross itself, when he went to the cross, even before the cross, he was beaten so badly you basically couldn't even recognize his body. Sometimes when the Romans would beat people before they even took him to the cross, sometimes they would kill him even before they would get to the cross. So Christ was beaten, he was stripped and beaten beyond recognition. A crown of thorns pressed down on his head. Think about that. We wear these little pretty things around our neck, but the cross, wasn't nothing pretty about the cross. Right. Wasn't nothing pretty about the cross. Wasn't nothing pretty about the cross at all. They beat him and they spat on him and hurled insults at him. He hung on the Calvary's cross for those several hours that Friday evening, and so much so that he had to cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Only time in history past, only time in history future have father and son had a brief separation, if you will. So Christ, because of our sins, separated him from his father. What an excruciating way to die. And even as he was on the cross, he looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, what an awesome and compassionate God we serve. What a compassionate Christ we serve. If that had been me, I'd have been like, Lord, I get him. But now he said, Lord, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive me and you. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so verse 5, in that one word, said he was crucified. But it's a lot in that one word. But even before that word, they said the ladies came to seek Jesus. You know, that's a good thing to do. Y'all still awake this morning? That's a good thing to do, to seek Jesus. That's a good thing to do, to seek our Lord and Savior, Brother Rodney. That's a great thing to do, to seek Jesus. I mean, I pray that you came here seeking him this morning. Did you come here seeking him this morning? Amen. A few people did. See, people come to church for a lot of different reasons. This Easter Sunday, y'all looking sharp. Y'all looking marvelous. Some people come to church just to see what other folks going to have on. Sometimes some single folks come to church and maybe that's a good place to find a husband or a wife. Now, there are worse places to find a husband or a wife. Let me say that. But, you know, that should be your primary reason to come to church, though. But people come to church for many different reasons. A lot of our kids, they came today because our parents, we made them come. So people come to church for many different reasons. But I pray that you came seeking the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I pray that you came this morning seeking a closer walk with him. I pray that you came this morning seeking to say, thank you, Lord, for getting up out of the grave. Thank you for saving me, a wretch like me. I pray that you came to just praise him this morning. It's good to worship him on this Sunday morning. But guess what? Monday morning is coming. So it's good to seek him on Monday morning. It's good to seek him on Tuesday morning. It's good to seek him on Wednesday morning. It's good to seek him on Thursday morning. It's good to seek him on Friday morning. It's good to seek him on Saturday morning. Hold on, what you saying today, preacher? It's good to seek him at all times. It's good to wake up in the morning seeking him. It's good to, during the noonday, seek him. It's good in the afternoons to seek him. It's good in the evening to seek him. And it's good in the midnight hour to seek him. It's good to seek him 7/24, 365. Because I'm learning on my Christian walk that I need him every day. I don't need him just for salvation. I thank God he saved me, but I need him every day. I need him to be delivered. I need him for just his grace and his mercy. I need him just help me to walk right and talk right. I need him every single moment of the day. I can't say, well, no, Lord, I've been walking with you for about 20-something years, and I got it. I got it under control. Now, if you feel like that, you're getting ready for a fall. That's a prideful statement. But I said, Jesus, I need you more than ever before. Yes, we should be growing, but I'm finding out I need him more than ever before. I need him more than ever before. So these ladies came seeking him. That should be your mantra this morning. So I want to seek him while he may be found. Seeking for his presence and his power. Seeking for a closer walk with him. Seeking for more intimacy with him. Seek him as you worship him. Seek him as you serve him. Just seek him each and every day. Seek him as you open up your Bible. Don't just use it as some intellectual exercise. Seek Jesus while you open up the scriptures. Seek him while you pray. Seek him as you witness. Just seek him every single moment of your life. God said, I seek true worshipers. Those who worship me, must worship me in spirit and in truth. So God said, I'm seeking you while you seeking me. And guess, watch this. And Jesus is not hiding from us either. As you seek him, he can be found. Matter of fact, it's him drawing you to seek him. So it's not like it's a task that's undoable. I mean, we should seek him at all times. He can give you joy in the midst of sorrows. He can give you peace in the midst of a storm. He can give you strength when you're tired. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, you might want to write that down and read it later. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I like the sound of that. You will find rest for your souls, Brother Rucker. For my yoke is easy, Jesus said, and my burden is light. In other words, Jesus, he's saying, just come hang out with me. Just come spend some time with me, and I'll help you navigate this thing called life. Sister Howard, he said, he helped us to navigate this thing called life. He said, in this world, in this life, you will have trouble, but take courage, for I have overcome the world. I need to hang with the one who's overcome the world. I need to hang with him who can get me through those tough moments that you and I both have. So seek our Lord while he may be found. He's food when you're hungry. He's water when you're thirsty. You ought to be ready to seek him this morning. I don't know about you, but I got to seek the Lord in every step of the day. You just seek him at all times. Look at verse 6 as I hasten on. Since you're seeking the Lord now, should be seeking him. Listen to what the angel said. He is not here talking about Jesus. See, we always just go with the witness of the scriptures. Once again, don't believe all this other crazy stuff. People try to denounce the fact that Christ died and rose again. Just say he died according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, and he was buried according to the scriptures, and he rose again. I'll stick with the witness of the Bible. I'm going to stick with the word of God. Amen. Do I have any Bible readers in the house? I'm going to stick with what God said. I'm going to stick with this right here. You can go with that other stuff if you want to. I'm going to stick with this right here. But the angel said, he is not here. Jesus is not here, for he is risen as he said. If he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. I mean, in him there is truth and there is no darkness. There's no lying at all. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come. If y'all don't believe me, come. See the place where, past tense, where the Lord lay. He is not here. Dr. Luke in his gospel, Luke 24 and 5. You might want to write that down and read that later. Luke 24:5. Dr. Luke gives us a little more dialogue here between the angel and these ladies. The angel, check what they asked the ladies. They said, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? Why do you seek the, that's a good question. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? That's a great question. That's a logical question. Let's step back for a moment. We know that the resurrection was true, but just think, go back all the way to that Sunday. You don't necessarily know if it was true yet. So that's a logical question. Why y'all looking for the living amongst the dead? See, these ladies had great intentions. We can learn something from these ladies. They had great intentions that they wanted to put spices on Jesus's dead body. So they're looking for Jesus in a logical place, Brother Keith. He had died. So, I mean, it's a logical place to go look for him in the grave since he had died. They're looking for him in a logical place, but in the wrong place. They're looking for him in a logical place, but in the wrong place. Many people are looking for Jesus, who is alive, but they're looking for him, are looking for things that they might think complete their life, but they're looking in all the wrong places. They say, if I could just get a little bit more of, you fill in the blank, if I just get a little bit more of this, I'll be okay. Some people are looking for fulfillment, but looking for it in all the wrong places. Some people are looking for joy. Most of us are, I think, but looking in all the wrong places. Some people are looking for significance, but looking for it in all the wrong places. So some people are looking maybe to their job or their career for fulfillment. Some people are looking for maybe looking to a man or a woman for their fulfillment. Some people are looking for prestige or power. Only to find out that a better job did not satisfy that deep yearning. Only to find out the quote unquote right man or woman didn't really complete that inner yearning. Only to find out not even more money completed that inner yearning. See, it's only when we surrender to him. It's only when we turn to him. It's only when we put all our faith and trust in him that all these other things will make any kind of reason or any kind of sense anyway. We turn our life to him. He can give you a job or maybe even a better job. You turn your life to him, he can help your marriage be better. You turn your life to him, he can help you find that husband or wife, or he'll get you content in your singleness. You turn to him, all these other things will be all right. Matter of fact, the Lord himself says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Well, what things are all your needs? This not no naming and claiming, nabbing and grabbing type stuff, but all your needs. He gonna take care of your food, your shelter. He gonna take care of all your needs. And sometimes he give us some of our wants and desires. Matter of fact, the Lord says, delight yourself in him. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Because see, if you're delighting yourself in him, your desires are gonna be desires that please him. Does that make sense? He said, delight yourself in him. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. A lot of times we try to get those things, then try to get the Lord later on. No, go for the Lord first. Go for the Lord first. He said, I got plenty of things. I got joy. I got peace. I can meet your material needs, whatever those might be. So these ladies were looking for Jesus, but they were looking in the wrong place. But watch this. At least they were looking. At least they were looking. They were doing better than the disciples. They were hiding out. They weren't looking. But these ladies were looking, but looking in the wrong place. Their hearts were sincere. They had the right motive. But they were just looking in the wrong place. Kind of like what I said earlier. If you follow the Lord like they were looking, God is going to direct you to where you need to go. He's going to direct you where you need to go. So the angel said in verse 6, a lot of boys said, he is risen. He, as he said, he is not here. Just as he said. Jesus always keeps his word. I say he always keeps his word. That should bring you some comfort this morning. Listen. Jesus said he would rise again, and he did. Jesus said he's coming back again, and he will. Jesus said he would never leave you nor forsake you, and he won't. He said he will stick closer to you than a brother, and he will. You can trust Jesus. I said, you can trust Jesus. If he said it, he's going to do it. What's your track record like with the Lord? If he woke you up this morning, he watched over you last week, last month, last year, last decade. But I mean, all your life, he's been watching over you. His track record is impeccable. He'll never let you down. I said, he'll never let you down. Sometimes men will let you down. Sometimes not necessarily because they want to, but sometimes just because of their inabilities. A man will let you down. Sometimes they just expire. They leave here. I mentioned to y'all last week, my uncle, 91 years old, great uncle. But he left here. I can't go to him anymore. I mean, he's gone. So man will let you down one reason or another. But Jesus will never let you down. I said, Jesus will never let you down. We got a friend in Jesus. Oh, we got a friend in Jesus. He will never let you down. You can trust him. You can depend on him. You can rely on him. You can rest in him. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. The angel said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Come see the place where he was, but he's no longer here. He is risen, just as he said, he's risen. So proof was provided. Who are these crazy, foolish folks? Who are these fools who try to say that Jesus did not conquer death? He conquered the grave. Leave here today. If you don't know anything else, say, hey, my Savior is alive. He is risen. The tomb is still empty. They hadn't found his body yet. We're doing some college. We've been doing college searches, me, Tanya, and Ariana. And we were at a college yesterday, and they were talking about how they found this old mummy, basically. And they began to really research it and looked at it, and they figured out it didn't come from America. They figured out, however they figured it out, well, really it came from Egypt. And then they figured out it probably was the grandfather of the guy that's in the Ten Commandments, that particular Pharaoh. So here it is. They found this old body somewhere 5,000 years old and took him all the way back over to Egypt. All I'm saying is they'll never find Jesus' body. They'll never find his body. They'll never find his body. He said, come, look where he was. He is not here. He's risen. Then verse 7, and I'm almost through. Verse 7 says, they told these ladies, just what I was saying earlier about all of us, we need to go tell somebody about Jesus. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen, because they hide not, they're afraid, they're scared. Go tell them that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Go tell his disciples. Here's a good homework assignment, Sister Bray. Here's a good application for today. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Go tell somebody about Jesus. I mean, we have many opportunities, multiple opportunities. Go. Now, some of us, even today, we'll be getting together with family and friends for a little Easter meal or something. And we know, if your family is like my family, we know when you're at some of these family gatherings, everybody there don't know Jesus in a saving way. Oh, come on now, fan you now, fan you later. Am I the only one got some lost folks in my family? I'm the only one got some folks don't know the Lord. This is a great opportunity, Brother Terman, to tell somebody about Jesus today. Why you chewing on that chicken bone, just tell somebody about the Lord. Today. Look for opportunity. They're all around us. Go to the restaurant. Sometimes I do this. When a person comes, the waiter or waitress, you can just ask them, can I pray for you about something today? And a lot of times that opens up a big conversation. I mean, just look for opportunity to share Jesus. And I know all the time we don't want to say anything, all that, but really, 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 if anything, we should be trying to shut each other down more. But man, you talk about the Lord too much. Because we got the right Savior. We got the right God. Other people are lost. But we have the true answer. I don't know about you, but if I was wrong, if I was inherently wrong about something, I would love for you to come and tell me, Pastor, you go in the wrong direction. You go in the wrong way. So we know a lot of people who are going the wrong way. I said, we know a lot of people who are going the wrong way. Well, let me say this. I know a lot of people who are going the wrong way. Like, brother or sister, get off that road. There's another road. You're on the wide road that leads to destruction. Get on the narrow road. Get on the narrow way. So the angel gives these ladies an assignment. And this morning I'm giving all of us an assignment. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Tell them about what he has done in your life. To tell them the simple gospel message that he died according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15. They buried him according to the scriptures, and he rose again according to the scriptures. And just tell them how he has risen in your life, how he's transformed your life. All of us in here got a testimony. I said, all of us in here got a testimony. Mine might be different from yours, might be different from yours, but all of us got a testimony how we were on a road that was leading to death and destruction, but Jesus and Jesus alone came and rescued us and took us off that road. Oh, I have some more witnesses right there than that. I mean, he took us off the road that was leading to death and destruction. So go tell somebody else. There's an old saying, we're just one beggar trying to tell another beggar how to get some bread. So go tell somebody about the Lord. Tell somebody about Jesus. Do like these ladies were instructed. There's a little song. You all probably heard it. I think it came out like in the 80s. It says, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, let me say that again. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Sister Geraldine, he can save anybody. He can save any. He saved me. He can save anybody. He can save anybody. He can save anybody. He can save anybody. Saw this little movie yesterday, I think it was. I Can Only Imagine. That's a pretty good movie. Based on a true story, and the guy that wrote the song, his dad was very abusive. His son himself said his dad was a monster. That's how he described it. He was a monster. He basically ran off his wife / the guy's mother. Long story short, toward the end of the movie, end of this guy's life, true story, this guy who was a monster, Jesus saved him. And so the guy who wrote the song, I Can Only Imagine, a famous Christian song, he said that, you know, he kind of loved the Lord. But he said, when he saw that Jesus turned his dad around, he said, when I saw that the gospel turned my dad around, he said, I got to tell everybody about this Jesus. He said, because my dad was a monster. And the Lord turned him around. Check this out. You might not have been that type of monster, but all of us were monsters until the Lord turned us around. All of us were messed up some kind of way until the Lord turn us around. So people need to hear that story. People need to hear that, hey, Jesus can change your life. He can change you. So verse 8 says, so they went out, they obeyed. They went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. They went out, they obeyed. I haven't said this in a while, sister cousin, but obedience precedes blessings. They obeyed. Sister Terminate, I mean, the angel told them to go, and guess what? They took off. They went. They didn't say, well, nobody going to believe us. They don't know, you know, how many people died. Now they went. And I love the emotions here. They went with fear and great joy. Kind of almost like conflicting type of emotions. They went with fear, but also with great joy. I know they were excited. I know they were joyous, but they had a holy fear and awe, a reverence of God. We've lost that somehow in Christianity today. We don't have an awe of God. We don't have a holy fear of him like we should. He's just the big guy upstairs, some old stuff like that. Now he's God. Matter of fact, God said, who can approach my holy hill? Only he who has clean hands and a pure heart. I love, and I missed it last night, but I love that scene in the Ten Commandments when Moses struts up to the mountain and God said, hold up. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. You're on holy ground. Moses, you my boy. I'm going to send you down to Egypt, but hold up. I'm a holy God. You got to be careful how you approach me. Matter of fact, later on in the Bible, the Israelites were talking about, well, Moses, you the only one can go up there to God. We want to talk to God. And then the Bible says that God came with thunder and lightning. He said, oh, Moses, you can go back. Tell God to go back. It's in your Bible. I know y'all reading the Bible this year, right? It's in the Bible. God is a holy God. So these ladies left there with great joy, but also with a fear, with an awe. With a reverence, if you will. So you and I, when we serve the Lord, we should serve with great joy, but also should have a type of reverence, a type of awe that, man, I'm working for Jesus. I'm working for God. I'm not just working for my boss on my job, but I'm working for God. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord, not for man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Remember, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So when I used to work at TVA, Brother Rucker, I said, you know I work for TVA. When I get the little check stub and all that says TVA, Brother Jim, but really I'm not working for TVA. I'm really working for the Lord. And yet TVA just gets in on it, but I'm really working for the Lord. So these ladies left there with great awe, joy. And look at what happens in verse 9. And as they went, see, I think a lot of us miss a lot of things because we're not going. We're not obeying. Obey the Lord, whatever you know right now. Obey him at that. You know, sometimes we're talking about, well, I need more information. Oh, I need to know more information. Well, just work with what you already got. I often say, our knowledge level far exceeds our obedience level. Let me say that again. Somebody need to write that down. Our knowledge level far exceeds our obedience. I don't need a whole lot of more information. I just need to try to obey and live out what I already know. I don't need any more stuff right now. Let me just do this what I already know. But so it's amazing. As they went, verse 9, as they went to tell his disciples, as they were obedient, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. First, Jesus meets them and said, rejoice. This word rejoice simply means to take delight, to feel gladness or joy. So as Jesus meets them, he says, take delight. Feel glad. Feel gladness. Feel joy. Rejoice. That should bring you some joy this morning. The fact that the tomb is empty. Jesus is saying, rejoice. He is risen. Rejoice, the tomb is empty. Rejoice, Jesus at the right hand of God the Father praying for you and for me. Rejoice, he's coming back again one day. Rejoice, you have been reconciled to God. Rejoice, you have been redeemed by God. Rejoice, you have been forgiven by God. Rejoice, you have been justified by God. Rejoice, you have been sanctified by God. Set apart, declare right. Rejoice. Y'all working the preacher hard this morning. You ought to be rejoicing. I know I'm glad that he's my Lord and Savior. Rejoice. The hymn writer coined it this way. He said, rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ, our King. We serve a King. I said, we serve a King. So that must mean we are the King's kids. We serve a King. We serve royalty. We serve King Jesus. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We serve a King. We don't serve some impotent God, some dead God. Our God, our Christ is alive. And I don't know about you, but that gives me the impetus to run on. Even in the midst of trials and tribulations, even in the midst of doubts and fear or something, I run on because I know he is alive. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives because I know he lives in me. He lives in me. The scripture tells us he lives. The tomb is empty. And the latter part of verse 9 gives us what I like to call a good proof text that the Christ is God the Son. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Don't give me that foolish stuff talking about he's just a great teacher. He's just a healer. He's this. No, he's God. Look, they come, the latter part of verse 9, and they grab his feet. And what do, saints? They worshiped him. They worshiped him. Quick question. Who deserves worship? Nobody but God. So if Jesus was just a great prophet, a great teacher, he would have said, no, don't worship me. He would have said, no, don't worship me. Only worship God. But now Jesus received the worship because he is God the Son. He is worthy of our praise and worship. He is God, a very God. He is Emmanuel. He's God with us. All God, yet all man. So they worshiped him. Who are these Jehovah Witnesses and all these other folks talking about he is not God? He is God. He is God. So you and I are called to worship him, to serve him. It's not like, watch this, it's not like God the Father and down here God the Son and Father, God the Holy Spirit. No. They, it's co-equal. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We serve a triune God. I don't totally understand it. The Trinity, that word is not in the Bible, but the concept is throughout the Bible. It's been said if you try to understand it, you might lose your mind. But if you deny it, you lose your very soul. So Jesus is to be worshipped. He is to be worshipped. He is to be worshipped just like God the Father, just like God the Holy Spirit. He's to be worshipped. He's to be worshipped. He's worthy of our praise. So verse 10, this is my last verse, verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Same thing that the angel said, do not be afraid or fear not. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren. Don't miss that word. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So Jesus first says, fear not. You know, the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. Throughout the scripture, we see verses like that. Fear not. Do not fear. Fear not. So I tell you, even this morning, Christian friend, whatever you might be going through, God says, Jesus said, fear not. He said, he got it all under control. Matter of fact, he said, bring all of your cares to me because he cares for you. So we can take all of our cares to him because he cares for us. So he says, fear not. Do not fear. Then Jesus tells them the same thing, basically that the angel told him to go. Go and tell my brethren. Matthew 28:18-20. I read it earlier. Jesus says, go and make disciples. And then as I close, I love this word that Jesus uses in verse 10. He said, do not be afraid. Go and tell my whom? Brethren. I love that. Even though his disciples were kind of weak and hiding out and being wimpish this morning, Brother Kirk, Jesus still called them my brother. See, before he had called them friends, he had called them servants, but now he said, call them brethren. You know, Jesus has many titles. I'm going to read them in a minute. He has many titles, many descriptions. But one of his titles is he is our elder brother. He's our big brother. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I got a big brother. My biological brother's over in Arkansas, but I got a big brother right here in Chattanooga. He's our elder brother. He's our elder brother. There are three other descriptions of Jesus throughout the Bible. Let me just read a few of them. I haven't done this in a while. A few of them from A to Z, and then I'm through some of the names and titles and descriptions of Jesus Christ, the one who says, I am risen. He is risen. The tomb is still empty. Got one hallelujah. Jesus, he's from A to Z. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the apostle and high priest of our profession. He's the author and finisher of our faith. In the B class. He is the only begotten of the Father. He is the righteous branch. He is the bread of life. He's the bridegroom. He is the anointed one. Here's the seed. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the day spring from on high. He is our deliverer. He is the desire of all nations. He's the door of the sheep. I'm just talking about Jesus from A to Z. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's faithful and true. He's the firstborn from the dead. He is a sure foundation. You ought to try him sometime. He is a sure foundation. He is a friend of sinners. Oh, I got to repeat that one. He's a friend of sinners. He's the only wise God, our Savior. He's the head of the body, the church. Yes, Jesus is the head. That's the H. He is the head. Matter of fact, he's the CEO, Brother Visa. He's the COO and the CFO. He's all in, all in one. He's the head of all principality and power. I'm talking about our Christ. He's the heir of all things. He's a great high priest. He's a holy one of God. He's our hope. He's our peace. He's our joy. He's our Savior and Lord. He is risen. Watch this. He's the righteous judge. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the King of the saints. He's the King of the Jews. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. John said, behold the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. He's our life. He's our light. He's the light of the world. He's the lily of the valley. He's the Lord both of the living and the dead. He's the Lord of the harvest. Here's the M. He's a man of sorrows. He's a good master. He's a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's a Messiah. He's the most holy one. He's an offering of a sacrifice to God. He's our Passover. He's our Passover. He's a great physician. He's a prince of peace. He's a propitiation for our sins. He died for us. He appeased the holy God and his wrath against us. He's a propitiation for our sins. He's a resurrection and the life. He's a spiritual rock. He's the root of David. He's the root of Jesse. He's our salvation. He's our salvation. He's my salvation. He's your salvation. He's Savior of the world. He's God's righteous servant. He's a shepherd and bishop of our souls. He's a great shepherd of the sheep. Oh, he's a great shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's a chief shepherd. He's a son of Abraham. He's a son of David. He's a son of God. He's a son of man. He's a son of Joe. He has a lot of names. He has a lot of descriptive titles. He's the only begotten son. He's a bright and morning star. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's everything. He's our bridge over troubled water. He's our lily of the valley. He's our bright and morning star. He's our risen king. He's our risen savior. He's Lord all by himself. He's God all by himself. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. He conquered your issues and my issues. He is God all by himself. He is a risen savior. He is the risen savior. Savior. He is the risen Savior. He is the risen Savior. We don't serve some dead God. We serve a risen Savior. 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 He rose me up one day. He rose me up back in August of 92. He brought me out of muck and mire. He is a risen Savior. Ain't he alive? Ain't he alive? Ain't he alive? He's a risen Savior. He's a risen Savior. Oh, you ought to praise him today. You ought to praise him today. You ought to praise our risen Savior. You ought to praise our risen Lord. He is God. He is Jesus. He's our help. Oh, just praise him. He's our sin bearer. He is our great King. He walks with us. He talks with us. And watch this. When he saved us, it's not like he saved us and said, okay, we'll hook up later on. No. The moment he saved us, he continues to walk with us. Matter of fact, let me go back. Even before he saved us, he was still watching over us. He was still waking us up and putting us down at night. Even before he saved us, even before we worshiped him, even before we served him, he was still keeping us. We call it common grace. He reigns on the just and the unjust, even though we didn't deserve it, even though we don't deserve it even right now. But he's such a gracious God. Such a loving Christ. If you don't know him this morning, you ought to get to know him today. You ought to get to know him today. And if you do know him, you ought to rejoice. You ought to praise him. You ought to worship him. You ought to serve him. You ought to obey him. You ought to tell somebody else about him. I'm going to ask you to stand if you can stand. We don't try to manipulate you coming down the aisle or anything like that. But if you do need to come to begin a relationship with Christ, if you need to come for prayer, if you want to just come and join this church, you can come at this time. But I encourage you, even right where you are, you know where you are with the Lord, even right where you are, right where you are, you ought to say, Lord, here I am. Your need might be salvation. You might need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Your need might just be, I've kind of gotten out of relationship with the Lord. I've gotten off track. But I know I belong to him. I just need to confess my sins. I need to repent. I need to get back right with him. Whatever your needs are this morning, I wouldn't leave here today. I wouldn't leave here today without having those needs met. Whatever those needs are. Jesus said, I'm willing. He said, I'm willing. Yeah, confess him with your mouth. Believe in your heart. Do you know Jesus? Amen. We have time. Confess him with your mouth. Do you have a relationship with him today? You can begin that relationship today. You can surrender today. Oh, you ought to sing to the Lord this morning. Do you know Jesus personally? Not about him, but personally. It's good to know him. It's even better than the fact that he knows you. He knows me. He knew us even before the foundations of the world. Ask Jeremiah. Oh, it's good to know him. Yes. Amen. Get a Lord a hand clap of praise for being a great God, a risen Savior. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I don't serve some dead God. I'm glad my Savior is alive. The tomb is empty. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for the fact that we can pray for one another. You've told us to pray for one another. So, dear God, I lift up Brother Carnarvon, Sister Angela, dear God. I lift them up to you. Thank you for the testimony that they gave us some weeks ago. They are in the process of reconciliation. So we thank you, dear God. Pray your blessings upon them. All of us stand in need of prayer. Some of us might not have come to the altar today, dear God, but we all stand in the need of prayer. Thank you for being a God who hears and answers prayers. Thank you, dear Lord. That the psalmist said, I cried out unto the Lord and he heard my cry and delivered me out of all my troubles, out of all my fears. So we know that you are a prayer answering God. We thank you, Father. All of us, I'm sure all of us in here as followers of Christ can attest to the fact that you answered our prayers. Number one, you answered our prayers for salvation. Bring us out of darkness into your marvelous light. You saved our souls. And we've seen many other answered prayers since then. So thank you, dear God, for being faithful to hear and answer our prayer. What a blessing that is, dear God. That's another proof, another evidence to us that Christ is alive, that you, dear God, are alive. You are a living God, a living Savior. So thank you that you hear and answer our prayer. So bless this couple now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Say amen again. I don't know, but I don't do it as often as I should. But every now and then I have to ponder and think of the fact I could have been raised in like a Muslim family or some other false religions family or Jehovah's Witness family. But I was brought up in a Christian home. And so I at least kind of got exposed to the truth. And later on, by God's grace, he saved me. So I don't know about you. I pinch myself every now and then and say, man, I'm in the right place. I'm serving the right God. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. And so we need to tell everybody about that before we get there. You know, we're going to all get there one day, right? If you're in Christ, you're going to get there. If you're not in Christ, you need to get in Christ today. Today is the day of salvation. If you're visiting with us, just raise your hand. We want to at least acknowledge you. Amen. Keep your hands up. We want to, at the very minimum, we're going to bring you a little gift and just thank you for being with us this morning. God bless you. You could have stayed at home or gone somewhere else. So we are thankful that you came and visited us here at Love Fellowship. Where we love God. We love his word. We love people. And I pray and we pray that something that was done today impacted your life and drew you closer to the Lord. So once again, just hold your head up until you get a little gift, just a little token of our appreciation in those bags. Also, there's a card with a pen. We want at the very minimum fill that out for us, and you know where we can at least send you a letter, or if you need us to call you, or whatever we can do to help you on this life journey. We want to be a blessing to you. So thank you once again for coming. One more time, wait, look at all our visitors, and make sure church we. Acknowledge and greet our visitors on the way out. Did we miss anybody? Did we miss anybody? Just raise your hand if we miss you. Charge to the head and not to the heart, as they say, if we miss someone. Amen. God bless you. Get a lot of hand clap praise again for our visitors, our guests. Please come back and visit us again, especially if you don't have a church home. Please come back and visit with us again. God bless you. We love you and praise you. Have a great day today and a great week this week. Love Fellowship, love you, and we want to continue to be the church that does love.